So let's just get started in our usual way. We're going to start with a brief connection. So take a nice deep breath. And exhale. And just feel yourself relax into the present moment. Feeling like there is nowhere to go and nothing to do. And knowing that on this call, there's something for you that you'll be able to implement into your business, into the way that you show up in the world consciously and powerfully. And so just allow your energy to really open and flow dynamically, feeling yourself expanding into all places and spaces, and feeling the connection to Kelly and Adela and the conversation around your ideal client. So our topic today is don't say anything until you know who you're talking to, creating the personality profile of your ideal client. And our guest speaker is Kelly Sparta. And Kelly is a thought alchemist, a business coach, and a midwife for other people's passions. She specializes in helping speakers, authors, and coaches with a mission to get their message out to the world in an effective and profitable fashion. Kelly is also a practicing shaman. I really loved this, Kelly, when I saw this on your site. A Reiki master, an energy worker, and a healer who spent the last 25 years starting and running a wide variety of businesses. She has two passions: personal development, spiritual growth, and business. And she has a unique set of skills that speak to the conscious entrepreneur. So welcome, Kelly. Great to have you.
Thanks. It's great to be here, Adela.
Yeah. I'm really excited about this because this is one of the places where a lot of us have a lot of trouble in knowing, I call it, you know, your tribe, you know, knowing who you're speaking to. And so I got really excited around your topic. So when you think about your client and you think about your tribe, for me, it's the group of people. Like, let's say if your clients were all about to get together, it would be your tribe. But breaking it down to your actual specific client is where most of us start. It takes us a while to build a tribe or a following or a platform, as it's known in marketing. And there's something really unique about creating that connection with your ideal client when we're doing business on the web. So I wonder if you could speak a little bit about what's different about relationships on the web.
Well, the first thing that's different about relationships on the web is that in many instances, they're not two-way. Oftentimes, your clients are actually forming a relationship with you without you even being aware of it. And when I say your clients, I also mean, obviously, your prospects. So there's your prospect comes to your website, they form an idea of who you are. It's your first impression, as though you were meeting in person. And they form an idea of who they think you are, and then the additional material that you provide them is the way in which they come into relationship with you. And so it's important for you to know who it is that you're interacting with and how they think.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that will actually inform your web design itself and how you create your links and where people go on the website and what they get out of it. So knowing whether they're most often visual or auditory learners or kinesthetic learners and how they come into being on your site, what it is that they're looking for from your site, what it is that they're looking for in life in general, because really, honestly, your site is one very small part of their larger world,
mm-hmm.
and so you need to know where you fit into the picture for them,
mm-hmm.
and how your piece of the puzzle can interact with the other pieces that they're dealing with, because they need to know that too, and if you can explain it for them, then they don't have to think about it. And the less they have to think about it, the easier it is for them to say, yes, they want you.
Right.
So that's really where it comes into play.
Yeah, so there's actually a good amount of prep work that needs to go in to how you present yourself to the world, and how you present yourself to the world, that world is your potential clients.
Yes and no.
Okay.
The world holds your potential clients,
mm-hmm.
but not everyone is your potential client. And this is where most people get stuck, is right on this point. There, especially if somebody's a new entrepreneur, one of the things that I find most challenging for new entrepreneurs is that they think that everybody will want to work with them. And the fact of the matter is that some people are just not going to like you. And that's okay. You're not their people, and they're not your people. And so one of the biggest challenges is getting past the fear associated with letting go of those people. There's a psychology study that has been done that proves that people are more afraid of loss than they are desirous of gain.
Mm.
And so the biggest challenge for a new entrepreneur in order to really maximize the potential of your business is being willing to let go of the people who are not your people so that you can speak directly and focusedly to the people who are your target market. And so it's about being willing to really define your ideal client and then market directly to them. Does that mean that you will never work with somebody who isn't your ideal client? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means that you're going to speak only to your ideal client in your marketing pieces, because those are the people you most want to work with. And anybody else who comes in along the way, great. Okay? You don't have to turn down the other business, although ultimately you will. If you're successful enough, then you're going to be turning down the business with the people you don't prefer to work with. But the goal is to be able to speak intelligently and compellingly to that person who is the one that you're going to enjoy working with the most and who will get the most out of working with you. And there's a concept of this. A lot of people like to use this sort of buckshot approach. It's sort of be everything to everybody. The problem with that is that you're never everything to everybody. When you try to do that, you're nothing to nobody because you don't stand for anything. Sort of like some of the politicians that you see come through. They don't really stand for anything because they're trying to walk the middle line. And so who are they? You don't know. It's hard to get behind somebody that you don't know what they stand for. And that's the same thing is true of a brand. So I have a habit of telling people that if you don't piss somebody off with your marketing, you probably haven't said anything.
Oh, yeah, because people do want to tune in to something that's different because they're used to hearing the same thing, and something different they can get excited about, they can get curious about.
Yeah.
So I know that one of these areas that I really got stuck on for so long, there's this other this idea of the ideal client, and there's a couple of people. There's some people out there that say that you are your ideal client, and there's other people that say, no, that's not the deal. What's your take on this, Kelly?
I would say that it can be either. And I'll put it to you, I'm going to use myself as an example just to give you an idea. I do a lot of work with other people who are at my level who are doing their own speaking practice and who are getting out in the world and doing their own thing and wanting to bring their message out into the world and to make a difference. And I call those my true believers, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later. And I am my own client in that instance. That's why I understand the client so well. And at the same time, I also do programs for people who are earlier on in the process. So people who are the person that I used to be. And so in that case, I am no longer my ideal client, but I was them at one point in time. And so I do remember what it was like to be them, and I can speak intelligently and informedly to that process. And so from that perspective, I would say it is both and it depends on who you choose to interact with. and where you choose to be on the scale of your evolution.
Mm. Yeah, that was answering one of the questions that I had around how do you get to know your ideal client. And so what you're saying is that you get to know them partly because you've been them.
Yeah.
And then how else do you get to know them, Kelly?
Well, another way that you get to know your ideal client is to really just look at who you've worked with before and talk to them about it. I had a class 2 days ago that I ran, and I've been having some challenges with this particular group, this list that I've had, in getting people to come out. And so when I got people to come out, I grabbed them at the end of class and said, hey, do you guys mind answering some questions for me? And I sat them down and I said, what are you looking for in your life right now? What was compelling about this particular topic that drew you out? What is it that you want more of? What is it that you need? What is your pain in this moment? And do you feel like someone else can solve that for you, or do you feel like that's something you have to do on your own? What are you seeking for in your existence in this moment? And how can I fill that need? Because these are people who now had an experience of me and had an experience of my program and had an experience of how they could be affected by it. And so they could speak informedly to who they were, where they were in their lives, and they were people who said that they would come back for another program and believed so enough to stick around so that they would get what they needed out of it, that I would design a program around that. So these are very clearly my ideal clients. They're people who have already paid to get in the door, and they're people who are willing to come back for more.
Mm-hmm.
That's your ideal client right there. They love you, and they pay you, and they appreciate you enough to come back.
Right.
Everything else after that is detail. So
Right. Call
them, ask them, call them up and have a conversation. I'm a much bigger fan of actually having a conversation with 50 to 100 people, even if you've got a list of 50,000. Have a real one-on-one conversation with 50 to 100 of those people rather than publishing a poll. Because when you do a survey, the responses are limited to the radio dial buttons that you've offered. And if you haven't offered the answer that they wanted to give and you haven't given them a place to do that, then you're getting skewed data. So having a one-on-one conversation with your people is a much better way of really discerning what's going on for them. And I love to ask them open-ended questions. So you really can't assign this out. If you're hearing this right, you can't assign this to a temp. You need to make these calls yourself, or you need to have somebody who's really, really good with people that you know and trust and who knows you well enough to represent you make these calls. But ideally, it's going to be you making these calls, because it's in these calls that you have the ability to get deeper into the relationship and to learn more about your clients and to learn things that you never anticipated learning. There's always something that shows up when you ask an open-ended question. So what's going on in your life right now? What is it that you feel like you need? Where do you feel lost and alone? What isn't working for you? Okay? Those sorts of questions will glean you monstrous responses. So if you must do an email survey, those are the types of questions to ask. But you'll get much less response if you make people write.
Yeah, plus that's an opportunity to further deepen the relationship.
Right.
The actual phone call.
Yeah. I actually had one of my clients at the session I did the other night look at me and say, you know what I'd really like? I'd really like for us to do what we did at another session that we had done that was a part of it. She said, I'd like to just do that, just get a whole bunch of people in a room. And all we did was we did a series of rounds of the question of, if you really knew me, you would know. And then you fill in the blank. And that's all we did was we've been around 3 or 4 times around the room and let people share at whatever level they were comfortable with. And we dove pretty deep because some people jumped in and dove really deep with the question, and everybody followed suit when that happens because they want to balance the energy. So that's, maybe you could just send that question out and say, if you really knew me, you'd know. And that might be a really interesting thing to put up to your list and see what they say.
Yeah, kind of a provocative question.
Yeah. I believe in being provocative. And I'm gonna tell you that I'm really out of the box and I'm gonna buck the trends when we have this conversation, because I don't believe in a lot of the marketing that's going on right now. And I have some serious issues with how people are being marketed to and with the manipulation that's happening in the marketplace. And I don't think that the marketplace is going to put up with it for much longer. And so it is about getting ahead of the trend to go into that next stage, because people are getting smart and they're starting to understand that they're being manipulated. And once they really get that, then you're going to find that you need to have a different approach. So.
Yeah, I love that. I'd love to hear a little bit more about what you think that approach is.
Yeah, well, and I've been sitting with that for a while, because the stock standard approach right now for marketing is to offer somebody up a greater than amazing deal. You inflate the price to two or three times what you're actually going to charge, and you say, but for today only, you can get it for this one-third off, you know, one-third of the price or one-fifth of the price, however you want to do it. But you got to buy now. And if you don't, you're going to miss out. And it starts even before they get to that sale with, here's all the fear and here's all the pain and here's all the ugliness that's going on in your life, and let me just amp up your misery and then offer you my solution. And that's very fear-based, and it's very manipulative. And when people start to wake up to that, and they already are starting to wake up to it, they're going to really be upset. You know?
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, there is something to, I agree with you about the overinflating of prices. But there is something to, in marketing they call it limiters, using limiters to have you take action now, because, you know, most of us wouldn't take action without some kind of limiters, just because there's so many demands on our time.
Yes.
Right?
And I'm not saying that making a limited time only of price available doesn't have merit, because it absolutely does.
Okay.
And in fact, when we get to the end of this call, you're going to find out that I've done that. The program that's going to come up at the end is I've done that.
All right. That's still good marketing.
Well, it is. It's good marketing because it gets people to take action when it's top of mind for them.
Right.
And to me, that is a benefit to both the speaker who's looking to fill their program and make sure that everything gets completed and that the program actually runs, because, you know, they have to know several days in advance, and if everybody signs up the day before, how are you supposed to know? You can't plan for that. But it's also a value to the person who's signing up for the program, because they're invested in it now. They're top of mind with it now. And if you know that your program is valuable, then why wouldn't you want to push people to jump into it? Because it's good for them.
Yeah.
Okay. So giving them an incentive of X amount of dollars off the price is a great way to make it a win-win for everybody. They don't know that it's a win for them that they're signing up for the program yet. They'll know that when they're done with the program, but they don't know it yet. So the $100 off or $50 off or $200 off or however you're doing it, that you're giving them, is their way of feeling now that they're getting a good deal and that it's a benefit to them to sign up for it.
Great.
So from that perspective, it's not a manipulation. It's a win-win opportunity. It's you sign up early, and I know that the class is going to run, and that's a win-win for everybody, and I'll give you $100 off to motivate you to do that. That's a good deal.
That's a great deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's still within the rules of ethics. You know, that's still within above board marketing, because you're being honest with people. Look, I want you to sign up. I want you to sign up early enough that I know the class is going to run, so I'm going to give you an incentive to do it. There's nothing secret about that.
Yeah, and
the plan, on people's emotions to make them feel terrible and then say, I'm your only solution. That is my problem. It's not the same thing as connecting somebody,
mm-hmm.
connecting with someone. Because you can connect with someone and feel their pain and say, you know, I really feel this pain and I have been there. And I know how bad it hurts. And I can help you with that if you'll let me. That's one thing. But to say, oh, life is terrible and the world is going to hell and blah, 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 blah. You're just such a terrible person and I could make you a better person. I'm the solution. I'm the magic pill. No, it's not the same. It's a subtle difference, but it's an important difference.
Yeah, I totally get the difference. I know exactly what you're talking about. I actually attended a conference once where that was done live, and it felt awful.
Yeah.
It actually felt awful. And it also speaks to your ideal client, right, Kelly? Because people like you and me, we operate differently, and we're sensitive to that kind of energy in terms of that doesn't feel good like that, and we don't like to do business that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True, and that's one of the things that you need to know about your ideal client. I mean, if I tried to sell to you, Adela, using that sort of approach, you would shut down immediately. I mean, you'd be like, yeah, whatever. I'm not your target market.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so I know that you've got this personality profile, which I'm excited to hear more about, so that it can help folks figure out, you know, the specifics of their ideal client.
Yeah. So before we get into the actual profile itself, I just want to explain to people why they need one. Because people are like, well, I kind of know who my people are. You know, they're people like me. And that's fine. But you would be stunned at how much you actually start to really get who your ideal client is when you develop this personality profile. I even encourage you to actually name your profile. So, you know, you can call it, you know, Susie Homemaker or, in my case, True Believers or something, you know, so that you can look at it from a perspective anytime you're writing a piece of marketing or you're putting together an offer, you can say, okay, how would my true believer feel about this? How would Susie Homemaker feel about this? What would be her reaction to this? And going into that, because if you work with the profile long enough, it's almost as though the person is standing in front of you and you get to talk to them and have a conversation with them. And they become an amalgam of all the people that you've ever worked with who have thought you were amazing. And so when you're trying to figure out who that person is, the first thing I'm going to tell you is look at everyone who's ever written you a testimonial and look at everyone that you've ever gotten to the end of a program and wanted to be friends with when you were done because you just like them that much. Look at if you haven't actually done any business yet, then look at your friends and see who are the friends that you would choose again today. Because some of us have friends that we would not choose again today.
Mm-hmm.
So look at the friends that you would choose again today if you could choose over from scratch and start with that. But the personality profile, and I want to define it for you, a personality profile is a description of who that person is and what's important to them. It's their values. It's their beliefs. It's their emotional context. It is their demographics in terms of, you know, how old are they, where do they live, do they have kids, are they married, are they single, are they straight, are they gay, are they happy, are they sad, are they, you know, all sorts of stuff like that, right? And their psychographic profile, which is the going into the happy and sad piece of it. Are they optimists or pessimists? Are they people who move towards a goal, or are they people who move away from what they don't want? And 90% of the population right now moves away from what they don't want, and only 10% move towards what they do. So who are they? Do they learn visually or auditorily? Or are they kinesthetic learners? Are they people who are really engaged in activist activities? Are they politically motivated, environmentally motivated, socially motivated? What are their emotional hot buttons? How do they feel good about themselves and how do they feel bad about themselves? what is their greatest dream and desire, and what is their greatest fear. These are the things that you need to know about your ideal client in order to be able to speak to them effectively. It's the same thing as having a conversation with someone that's at a very deep and intimate level. You need to understand that person before they're going to let you talk to them at that level. And they need to know that you understand them and give you permission to have that conversation. So that's where knowing your market comes into being, because when you can get that target market defined, and this is another question I get all the time, so I'm going to answer it now. People ask me, they're like, but not everybody's going to be this person. It's like, no, no one is going to be that person exactly. No one you work with is going to be exactly the person that you define. But most of your people are going to be a lot like that person. And that's good enough. So they're not going to all be exactly the same. They're not going to all be dog owners or cat owners or, you know, love to play in the sun or walk on the beach or whatever. They're not all going to like to do that. But they're all going to have some of the aspects of what your ideal personality profile lays out. And if you have enough of those aspects in common with the ideal personality profile, then the marketing that speaks to that personality profile will speak to you as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it's so funny just to notice my own assumptions around personality profile. I was thinking it was going to be like this one-page sheet where I get to check this, 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 and this. Oh, okay, now I've got my ideal client. Right? And just noticing that about myself, how I just want to, you know, have something quick and easy to have me figure it out, when these things take a good amount of time and energy to really explore who are these people. And so one of my questions for you around this is, when you do this personality profile, what kind of a process is it? I mean, how long does it take you to come up with this? Is it something that you retweak?
You're constantly retweaking it, okay? And it depends on the person as to how long it takes you to come up with it. I do these a lot, so I can sit down and write a personality profile in an hour. But when I was first writing my first personality profiles, and you have to keep in mind, I've been doing personal growth and development work for 30 years. So, you know, I started when I was 10. There's a lot of this stuff that's just ingrained in me at this point. But it took me 3 or 4 hours to come up with my first one. And I tweaked it constantly, okay, because as people come in and tell you they love you and you compare them to your personality profile, you'll realize that there's either something missing or there's something that just wasn't quite right. You looked at it from the wrong perspective or the wrong angle, and you just want to shift it slightly. There are going to be people who love you that you didn't expect. A classic example of that is when Honda came out with the Element, they positioned it for the 20-something crowd, but the vast majority of people who are buying it are 30 to 50-something women who like the practicality of the rubber seats and the removable chairs and all the other happy hoo-ha that goes with the Element. And they completely missed who their primary market was because they didn't anticipate what the reception would be of that market. So sometimes that happens, and you completely miss who your primary market is, and these people show up, and they go, I just love you, and you go, who are you? You look nothing like my ideal client, but you love me, so clearly you must be one of my ideal clients. Now, sometimes you can have more than one profile. So in the case of the Element, they in fact do have a market in the 20-something crowd who likes to go camping with their vehicle and so on and so forth, and they also have a separate market with the 30 to 50-something crowd. So it's completely different demographics and psychographics associated with those two groups. So they have to do completely separate marketing campaigns for them. And that may happen to you. You don't know. When people start showing up, you'll know better. But it's important to have those two. And don't try to market to the two of them on the same page. You will be schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
one marketing piece for each demographic, each profile.
Go ahead.
Well, you had asked me a question about, I want to go back to it, and I've gone afield, so I'm trying to remember what it was, and I realized I'm remembering that I didn't answer it, but I'm trying to remember what it was.
It'll come back around if it's meant to be on this call, if you don't remember it. But I was going to ask you, so let's say I do my personality profile, and I've spent, you know, a couple hours on it, and I've got an idea of who my ideal client is. I've given them a name. So what do I do with it now?
Okay. Now you can speak to them. Now you have a way to talk to them. And in order for me to really demonstrate this for you, I want to read a paragraph or two from the personality profile that I have that I'm going to give you guys at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that you can get a feel for what it's like, because really what you're doing is you're creating an energetic construct of your personality profile. And once you get a feel for the energetic of the person that you're talking to, then you can construct that same energetic in your marketing. Because that's really what people are doing, is they're finding an energy match with the marketing materials.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it becomes about having that be a motivator. So really what happens is the law of attraction kicks in, and like attracts like. And so when you can identify the appropriate energetic, then your marketing can become that energetic. So let me read you a couple paragraphs just so that you can get a feel for how this flies, so you'll get a feel for the energetic that I'm building. So a true believer, defining true believers. True believers have spent their entire lives believing that the world doesn't have to work the way it does today. They have believed that there is another road, a path of cooperation, of ease, of excitement that exists outside of the day-to-day drudgery that the majority of the world lives. They have explored new vistas, walked down new byways, all in search of that elusive vision of what could be. They have felt incredibly alone on this path. They have felt like no one else was there who believed with them. They have had to become headstrong and focused, and they have had to let go of their dream of ever belonging anywhere. They know that this is a real sacrifice, but one they have had to make in order to create a new world where everyone can belong. Give them something to believe in. What true believers are lacking is a clear vision. They know that there is something more than what is here. They know it, but they aren't clear on what it looks like. The problem with this is that these are your 10% people. 90% of the world moves away from what it doesn't want, but 10% move towards what they do. The true believers are that 10%. But they are foundering on the rocks of not having a vision to move towards. They want more than love or money or sex or even belonging. What they want more than love or money or sex or even belonging is that vision. They need that clear hold on something to believe in. If they think that what you have to offer will get them closer to that vision, then they will pay or do anything to get there. For they know what their pain is. They live with it every day. What they don't know is what the pain is for. They want a reason for their wanderings. They want a path to their salvation. They want to know what it is that they have been fighting for all these years on the blind faith that it exists, whether they can see it clearly or not. Okay. Now, there's three pages of this, just to give you an idea of how in-depth this goes. And the next paragraph is titled The Religion of Possibility, just to give you an idea. And this just continues on to flesh it out further. But you get the idea of who it is that we're talking to. And you know their pain. You know what they want. You know what they need. You know what they've given up to get where they are. And simply acknowledging the fact that they have given it up is huge for people. Because one of the things that is most critically missing in our culture today is the act of really seeing someone else. of witnessing them in their existence. We are so bombarded in our culture by information and marketing, and you know, we're running from place to place, and we rarely have time to breathe, much less to really sit and be present with the person across from us. To pick up a magazine or to drop onto a website or to hear a podcast and to have someone speak so clearly to your personal experience, to really witness who you are and what you have been through in your life, is so profoundly moving that there really isn't any marketing to be done after that. The person just wants to know who it is who understands them so much and what they can do to interact with them further. Does that make sense?
I'm speechless, girlfriend. That was so powerful. And so true. I'm singing with you. I'm singing with you. And I heard myself in many of those places. Is that your... is that the personality profile for your target market? I heard myself there in many places.
Yeah. Well, when you read the rest of it, I bet you're going to recognize yourself a lot.
Oh, I'm dying for you to read the next piece, the piece about possibility. I was just like, that's me. That's one of my words.
Okay. Well, I can do that one more paragraph for you if you want.
I would love that. I would love that.
Okay. So the religion of possibility. True believers need a religion, a coalition of thought with other followers. They need a purpose and a goal. They're used to creating their own paths, but they're tired of cutting through the underbrush with their machetes. So having a general path to take and a clear set of steps is good. It makes it feel real and organized. It makes them feel like you know what you're talking about more than they do. But they also need a way to circumvent the structure if they feel they need to. They've spent their entire lives stepping out of the box. You must be open to that if you are to cater to them. Any marketing targeting this group must take into account their need to belong, but temper it with freedom of choice to address their fear of getting trapped in something that will keep them from their goal. And then it goes into vision climbers.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to read the whole thing. It's so well articulated. Kelly? Yeah, beautiful. And I can feel it because, I mean, I loved you from the start, but just from reading that, I can really, I really feel seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I totally agree with what you're saying is that people aren't witnessed nowadays. They aren't seen. Everything is just so fast, so fast, so fast, and surface, that when you do come across, and it's probably in there in your true believers, but these people, they want depth of connection. They want meaning.
Yeah.
And so to be seen, it's just extraordinary. You know that you found someone else who knows who you are.
Yeah.
And you're right, that creates that a different kind of connection, a deep connection that's not about the surface, which is part of the element of this profile. Which is that deep connection. And so I've got a question around what if in doing this profile, does someone have to be a writer, or because your personality profile was really beautifully articulated, does it work the same even if you're not a great writer?
The profiling process can work the same even if you're not a great writer. In order to take that profile and turn it into a marketing piece, you really do need to be a decent writer.
Okay.
And that's because you need to be able to paint the picture with the words on the page. And that's what marketing is all about, is being able to paint the picture. And now I'm going to temper that with the fact that we have video.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a great speaker but not a great writer, don't write. Do a video and introduce yourself on the video, tapping into the same energetic of the personality profile that you're laying out, and let them see the video. If you go onto my Cauldron Retreats website, I've put a video up at the bottom of the page. And the video is nothing more than me telling the story of how the Cauldron Retreats came into being. But it is me being absolutely transparent and me having dropped into the energy of the people that I'm talking to. And I get more positive comments on that video than anything else that I've put out. And it's because I have energetically put myself in a place where people can really relate to me. And I'm being completely transparent about why I've created the video. And I told them, I said, you know, if I, and just so that you know, the Cauldron Retreats are retreats that I run for women who are leaders in personal growth and transformational experiences. And so it's a place where the people who run events for others get to come and be held in a space of their own. But what I did was I said, look, if I were you, I wouldn't come out to any event before I had met the person and gotten a feel for what their energy is. And so I'm making this video so you can basically get a chance to scan my energy and get a feel for who I am. And so while I'm giving you the time to do that, I'm going to tell you how these events came to be. And then it's 8 minutes of me just talking about that. Now, would I recommend that you do an 8-minute video for most instances? No, I would never recommend that you do an 8-minute video. I would recommend 2 to 5 minutes maximum. But I wanted to give people a chance to really get a flavor for who I am, because that's what they're buying on in this process.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's not about what I say so much as how I say it and how I exist in the moment when I am saying it, because of my market, because of who's coming. Because they're not listening to the words, they're listening to the energy. And so I wanted to give them the time to really be able to tap into that energy. And so I just kept talking.
Hmm.
But, you know, for most people, 2 to 5 minutes, and closer to 2, the better. But, again, it depends on who your market is, and everything's going to be different depending on who it is that you're talking to and what it is that they're buying.
Great. So aside from helping you write your website copy, how else do you use your personality profile?
Well, I use it to design my programs. So, you know, for instance, when I first started putting together my marketing materials for the Cauldron, I had actually designed a series of programs. And a friend of mine, who is my target market, looked at them and said, yeah, none of these appeal to me. And I said, really? And she said, yeah, I don't care. She said, I've done all this stuff before, and I don't need you to walk me through it. And I went, you know what? You're right. And she said, and your languaging is really not appropriate for people at my level. And I went, you know what? You're right. And I had gotten so used to working with the people that were before me on the path,
mm-hmm.
and speaking their language that I had forgotten to shift into my own language that I have with my friends and with the people that I interact with on a peer-based level. And I looked at the site, and I rewrote the entire site because it had been written for the people who were earlier on in the path, and the programs had been designed for the people who were earlier on in the path. And then I sat down and I went, well, what would I want if I wanted this? Because, you know, I am now talking to my peer group, and this is my market now, and what would I want if somebody was doing this for me? And I'd go, ooh, I would want this. And, wow, that would be fun. And if you can get excited about it,
mm-hmm.
then you know you're on to something. And so the personality profile informs that in terms of the topics. It also informs the format of whatever work you may do. So if you're going to do a product, or if you're going to do a workshop or something along those lines, then you need to really understand who it is that you're dealing with. So when I was selling products to real estate agents, I made sure that if it was an educational product, it was on CD or MP3, so that they could take it with them, because I knew they were not going to listen to it in front of the computer, because they're always on the run. So when do they have time? They're in the car, and they're going to be listening. So you have to understand what their lifestyle is like in order to be able to produce something that works for them. So a streaming audio over the web doesn't work for them because they don't sit still long enough to listen to it. But to have a downloadable MP3 that they can put on their iPod and pop in the car, or to have a CD that they can buy and put in their CD player, that works. Same thing is true with a workshop design. Is if you're personality profile is a bunch of accountants who are used to being alone in their office and aren't used to interacting very much, then you're not going to walk them into a really heavy-duty experience of intimacy with their fellow man. You're going to walk them more into a light connection experience so that they have the experience of being able to connect, but in a way that doesn't scare them to death.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it's one of those things. You know, if you have a group of engineers, you're going to give them as much information as you can possibly stuff into a huge binder that they can take home with them that has monstrous amounts of detail because they want the detail. If you're walking into a group of artists, you're going to hand them visual handouts and no words because that's what they do, and they don't speak the language of words. So if you're walking into writers, you give them stuff that's beautifully written. If you walk into a group of people who are emotionally sensitive, then you have to give them stuff that takes their emotional sensitivities into account. You can't be blunt and harsh in your languaging. You have to be softer and smoother and easier with your tones. And everything about the personality profile informs everything about what you do with your clients. And that's part of creating the experience. There's two ends to the puzzle here. And I know we didn't set up to talk about this, but it's important that you understand that there are two ends to the puzzle. You have the personality profile, which creates the marketing, and that's the front end. But the personality profile also creates the customer service experience, which is the back end. And so you have the piece that brings people in the door, but you have to be consistent within your process that people walk through when they're in relationship with you, in order for you to have a fully satisfying experience for the client. They need to feel like that energetic that you built at the beginning carries all the way through your business, and that the follow-up is consistent with that as well. And so Michael Gerber does a really good job of talking about this on his video. I don't think he covered as much in the book, but he has a video of the E-Myth, and the video does a really excellent job of talking about the back-end process of creating the customer service experience. And so if you get a chance and you want to understand this a little bit more, go get the video on that. But it is all about creating a consistency of experience that allows people to feel held within the space of working with you from start to finish and beyond.
Yeah, it's congruent. You're congruent in all aspects of your business.
Yeah.
With this profile.
Yeah.
Because
if you only do it in the beginning and you don't do it in the process, then you're not only are you incongruent, but you're also the person will feel like they got lied to.
Mm-hmm.
Because you promised them this beautiful energetic, and then you didn't deliver that. So you really don't. You want to be careful how you set people's expectations.
Yeah. Have you found any circumstance where this personality profile didn't work, or there were any exceptions?
I found situations where people had the completely wrong personality profile.
Ah.
Not that it didn't work, but that they didn't have the right one, that they thought their market would be one thing, and in fact it was something else. And I've also found situations where people have put together the personality profile of what they thought would be the right market, but did not take their own personality into account. So it's sort of the same thing that I run into with dating. People talk to me about, and I'll tell you, sales is like dating more than you really want to know. But people will tell me all the time that, oh, I really want to date this amazing person and blah, 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 blah. And they describe this fabulous person to me, and I'm like, great. How are you becoming the person that that person would want to date?
Mm.
And they just give me a blank stare. And I'm like, well, if you were already the person that that person would want to date, then you would already be dating them. because like attracts like. Since you're not already dating them, what is it about you that is not attractive to that person? Are you not open enough? Are you not available enough? Are you too focused on your work and not enough available for relationship? Are you not actually walking your talk? You know, I mean, these things happen. And the same thing is true in business. You want to attract these people, but I can't tell you how many spiritual teachers that I have met in my 30 years of personal growth work who were not walking their own talk. And you can only last for so long being a spiritual teacher and not walk your own talk. Your business will tank.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are going to recognize you as the sham that you are. And yes, it gets harder with every passing year and every passing process that you go through. Everything is more intense and more complicated and more subtle and harder and sometimes more painful. But if you don't keep walking, then you lose your credibility.
Yeah, so part of this process, what I'm hearing, is that there needs to be an alignment between your ideal client and who you are becoming.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it needs to be between who you are now, and you need to continue to be becoming more of that person.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people who say, well, I want to market to, so take, for instance, someone who's brand new to a spiritual path, and they want to market to the gurus of the world. They don't really have a lot to offer the gurus of the world, even though that's where they want to be. They don't really have a lot to offer them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they aren't at a level yet. Now, you know, maybe they're amazing marketers and that they have a way to offer more marketing to people who are amazingly guru, you know, level people but who don't do marketing, in which case they can have them as their target market and they say, hey, I'll help you with your marketing and you teach me more about what you do. And then that's a way to do that. But they still have to be able to speak the language of the person that they're working with. And if they don't get what it is that the person is selling and teaching, then they're not going to be able to do the marketing effectively either. So there's a certain point at which that still won't work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And the truth of it is that, you know, you can lead people where you've been. And
yeah.
That's part of what defines your expertise is your experience.
Yeah. You can either lead people from where you've been, or you can help people to explore with you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can work with people at your level or further behind the path on you. But trying to work with people who are further ahead of the path than you is very difficult because it's really hard for you to have something to offer them.
I feel a question in there. I don't know where. But I think that there's possibility in that question, and I'm not sure where it is. Yeah, but there's something there for me about someone who's ahead.
So let me give you another piece of the puzzle on that, and maybe it will address your question.
Okay.
And give you a little time to think about your question while I say something about it. There is one gift that people who are further back on the path can give to people who are further ahead. And that gift is excitement and enthusiasm and a fresh perspective. This is something that I talk to people about all the time when they're trying to learn something new, they're trying to learn a new path, and they're trying to get into an industry that doesn't really have a lot of education or, you know, a lot of ways in the door. And what I say is find a mentor. Find someone that you would just give anything for them to walk you through the process. And then go and be prepared. Know everything there is to know about their life. Know everything there is to know about what they've accomplished. Know their history and walk in the door and say, you know, you have done all the things that I have always wanted to do. And I would really appreciate it if there was a way that I could learn more from you. and then let them say what their availability is in terms of being helpful. Some people will say they don't have an availability, and some people will say, I'd be happy to mentor you. And the reason that people mentor is several reasons. One is that they will they feel like they're leaving a legacy in terms of being able to pass their knowledge along. They were helped by someone else when they got started, and then so they feel like they're paying it forward. They are jaded and really not too happy about their business in the moment, and having a fresh face say how fabulous it is helps them shift their perspective. And sometimes it's just that they like to help. They like to be helpful, and they're just helpers. But that's not always the case. So, but that's how you get a mentor, but they're still not your target market in that instance.
Yeah, that clarified it for me.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. That was excellent. That was excellent. Thank you. So we've got a few minutes left, Kelly, and I would love to hear more about your upcoming teleclass, Creating Relationships on the Web. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Absolutely. So one of the things, once you've got your personality profile built, now how you bring it out onto the web? How do you make a relationship with those people in a venue that is, by definition, completely without connections? Especially when you're dealing with a static environment of a website. Now, when you're dealing with social media, you've got a little bit more ability to be interactive, but the downside of social media is that it's incredibly time-consuming, and it can basically suck your entire life if you're not careful. So how do you find the balance? How do you strike a balance between the social media aspect and the static web environments, and how do you create a relationship with someone that you've never met and, in fact, may not even know is on your website? How do you get them to the point where they call you up and go, oh, my God, I just love you, and can we do this? And to be able to have that just happen and to have people call you up, and occasionally I'll get a phone call going, Kelly Sparta? Is this the Kelly Sparta? And it just blows my mind every time it happens, because I'm like, the? I'm like, oh, the? I guess so. Must be me. But occasionally that happens. How do you get that? How do you get people to become raving fans that you've never spoken to in person? That's what this class is about. It's about creating those relationships virtually. It's about creating materials that will allow people to come into relationship with you without ever having an interpersonal connection, so that by the time they do get to that interpersonal connection stage, they have the ability to be able to just step right into the next stage of the experience. And it's not really a sales process so much as a, you know, taking the order process. And that's what I'm teaching in this teleseminar. And just like I said earlier, I'm going to do a special offer to be right in alignment with that process of, you know, I want you to sign up because it's fresh on your mind and you know you need to do it and you know it's going to be fabulous for you. And so I'm going to give you an incentive. The program is usually $299, but if you sign up by Friday at midnight, which is April 2nd, then I'll give you $100 off the sale price, off the price. So it'll be $199. That's a three-day program that's going to take place April 12th, 13th, and 14th from noon to 1:30 on each of those days, Eastern time. So Pacific time, that'd be 9 to 10:30 a.m. So please come out. You will not be sorry that you did. You're going to get so much information, and I will be recording the session, so you'll also get a recording of it, so you can go back and follow up with it, because I speak quickly and I give out a lot of information. And when I'm talking technology, because I've been doing work on the web for 7 years now, when I'm talking technology, I have huge amounts of information to portray out to you. So there's going to be a lot of information, so that's why I do the recording, is so that you can make sure that you can get everything and you can go back and listen again if you didn't quite get all the notes down.
Great.
They'll get the link to that when they do their when they sign up for the True Believers profile, because that's the other thing I'm offering is a copy of the True Believer personality profile so you can get a feel for how that works.
Great. Well, I can give them the link, and it's also on the webcast. So it's consciousbusinesstelesummit.com/web-relationships for the offer. And the bonus is consciousbusinesstelesummit.com/truebelieversbonus. And you'll get both of those links in a follow-up email, as usual, from me. Kelly, it's been wonderful. That's a very generous offer, so thank you very much for extending that to my community. It's been wonderful having you here at the Conscious Business Telesummit. I suspect that you will be back with more great info. I know that you've got lots to offer, and I really feel like your style and combo of, you know, business smarts and energy savvy is something that can really land this kind of vital information for the folks in this community who are conscious entrepreneurs. So thank you so much, Kelly, and we'll see you real soon. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.